Hello, welcome to this another edition of Words from the Word of God and a ray of light from the Word today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be within each of our hearts today as we share in this ray of light from the Word. And I would like to speak to you for a few minutes today about true worship. True worship. We began reading here in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. I want to start reading there in verse 23 down through verse 25. And I want to, again, want to speak to you this ray of light from the Word today about true worship. He says here, the author writing, as he is inspired of the Holy Spirit. Now, many say that the Apostle Paul was the author of the book of Hebrews. Some say it was Peter. In my opinion, and it's just my opinion, so many will probably disagree with me, I believe it's the Apostle Paul. But we know that he ministered to the Gentiles, and that the Apostle Peter, mainly his ministry was to the Hebrews, the Jewish people. And that's thus the title of the book, Hebrews, because it's written to the believers, the Jewish believers that were scattered abroad throughout the Roman Empire at that time. And as we pick up here, it does not really identify in Hebrews who the author was, but it is the Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God. So as the writer is writing here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, given by revelation of God, he says in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. So we automatically know that he is writing to believers. He says, let us hold fast to our profession of faith without wavering, for he, speaking of the Lord, is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let me clarify a few things here. He says, not forsaking. That means not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging one another, and do so, and so much the more, and we do it more and more as we see the day approaching. I believe he's speaking of the day of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to catch out or to rapture out true born again believers. The day that the Apostle Paul speaks of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, where he talks about the dead in Christ will rise at the trump, at the shout of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise, and those that are alive and remain who are born again in Christ, who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, will be caught up to meet them in the air, and there will be with the Lord forevermore. I believe that's what the author is speaking of here as we see that day approaching. And of course, as we look around us today, and all you have to do is watch the news or look at social media, some news on social media, and you can see the things, all the players on the stage, and now they're moving in that direction. The world is shaping up and is setting itself up for the return of Jesus Christ. Many say, well, what about the Antichrist? I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ, the Lord, because the Antichrist will not be revealed until the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is withdrawn. As in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you can read that there in your own time. But he will not be revealed until the power of the Holy Spirit is withdrawn. And we, as born-again believers, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So when his power was drawn, I believe that's when the church will be called out. And again, it's just my translation of it. Many might disagree with that. But I do believe the day of our Lord coming back to receive us home to be with him is very close. It's just on the horizon, and I believe it's coming. So we need to not neglect the assembling together. Now, I have heard this verse preached in churches from pulpits, from preachers and evangelists and so on and so forth, and using it to exhort their members and the people there to gather together, not forsake, not neglect the gathering together within the four walls of the church as the body of Christ. And I believe it should be preached in that way. But to me today, it reveals a spiritual, deeper spiritual meaning than just gathering together in the four walls of the church. And because if you forsake, okay, let's just look at it this way. If we are neglecting the assembling of ourselves together with the Lord in spirit and in truth, we are neglecting the main purpose of what God intends for each of our hearts. You see, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did that. He shared that great love for us, his mercy and his grace, that we might have a relationship with him. And a relationship with the Lord, it goes a lot further than the four walls of the church. We can go to church all day long, and I am hindered. I am physically hindered, and I cannot attend church as I would like to. I have to confess that. But I do not neglect, I do not forsake the assembling of myself together with the Lord. I pray each and every day. I study his word. I try as my best to be obedient unto his word. Because if we are not worshiping him outside the church, we are missing out on a lot. Number one, number two, if you are in church and you're gathering in those four walls and you're depending on your membership or sitting on that pew your whole life to get you to heaven, if you're depending on all the Sunday school accolades and pins you've gathered up through the years of being in that church, you're depending on that to get you into heaven, my friend, you're not going to get there. The writer here in the author of Hebrews and the Word of God tells us here, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He's speaking of that faith of salvation, that repentance of our sins and the faith that we've placed in Christ for our salvation alone. A membership in church and sitting on the church pew and gathering in those four walls, you doing that, you're just practicing religion and religious works and self-righteous works, which will get you nowhere but hell. You must accept Christ Jesus, and you must be born again of the Holy Spirit. And we will get into this a little later in the message, but right now I want to focus on verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10, not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. As we see the day of our Lord and Savior approaching, it behooves us as true born again believers to draw closer to the Lord. And the only way that we can do this is by the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us and obedience to the truth of God's word. And you say, well, Jeff, how do you justify that? Well, it's not just within the four walls. And Jesus teaches us this as we're pressed into the situation where he meets the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. And if you will turn there, John chapter 4, I want to start reading verse 16 and then down through verse 24. And I pray that the Lord will reveal this to you as he's revealed it to me about true worship. He says in context of scripture, He's come to this well to rest, and his disciples has departed to go get meat for them to eat. And in the midst of the time they are leaving and gone, he encounters this woman, this Samaritan woman at the well. And in the conversation, I want to pick it up here in verse 16, he said, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. He is bringing her sins to the forefront and bring her under conviction. He has already told her about the living water that he gives, and whosoever receives that water that he gives will never thirst again. And he talks about, let's just read verse 14. He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Speaking of none other than the Holy Spirit coming in at the new birth. And we'll get to that, as I said, but I want you to see some things here. Because, see, he brings her to the point of conviction of her sins. And instead of accepting that right away, she tries to detour him, starting here in verse 19. She says, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers, listen closely, worshipped in this mountain. Talking about in that mountain at a temple or whatever it may be. We're not told here. And then she says that, but and ye say that in Jerusalem, speaking about the temple in Jerusalem, is the place where men ought to worship within four walls. That's what she's talking about. She detours the Savior and says, well, we worship here. We don't know who we worship, as Jesus made this clear to her, but y'all say worshiping, the true place of worship is in Jerusalem in the temple. Jesus reveals the truth to her, and I think it should reveal the truth to our hearts that we need to keep in mind, considering Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, not neglecting ourselves to gathering together as the manner of some is. Jesus saith unto her, verse 21 of John chapter 4, he said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem, in the four walls of the temples, what he's speaking of, worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Listen closely to verse 23 and 24. This should speak very boldly into our hearts today about true worship and how it is not confined to the four walls of a church building. I am not saying that is a bad thing. We need to gather together as the body in Christ to exhort one another and lift one each other up and edify and build each other up and love upon one another and encourage each other to go forth spiritually and worship the Lord. But if you're missing out and you're neglecting the worship of the Lord the other 6 days of the week, and you only go to church and worship him on Sunday, you're truly missing out on a blessing, and you're truly not a true worshiper of the Father, because Jesus says right here, he says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him, it's an emphatic statement here, must worship him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean for us? That means that we must first receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. John's gospel reveals several things to us, and he speaks to us right here, telling us that true worship comes through the indwelling Holy Spirit and obedience to the Word of God. If you are neglecting to your prayer life, if you are neglecting the Word of God through the week, and you're only getting into the church and worshiping God, you are not truly worshiping him in spirit and in truth, because you're waiting until the time you get into the four walls, and by that time you're probably so filled up with the world, because you've neglected the Lord through the week, you've neglected his word, you neglected your prayer life, and you go to those four walls, and then you wonder why you don't get a blessing when you're there. Because you're not spiritually prepared to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because you haven't worshiped him in spirit and in truth of the week. True worshipers, true worship comes through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit and obedience to the truth of God's word. John's gospel clearly reveals that there is a new sacrifice, and that is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. It speaks about that in John chapter 1, verse 29. Turn over there with me, right there at it. Turn over there with me to John chapter 1, verse 29. John's gospel reveals to us not only that we should worship, Jesus reveals to us in John's gospel, we not only should worship in spirit and truth, but God's word reveals to us that they, because there's a new sacrifice. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. First of all, you must not neglect your salvation through repentance and placing your faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's the new sacrifice. First, you must accept the new sacrifice. Then you experience the new birth. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, the word of God tells us here, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus then answered and said unto him, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you accept the Lamb of God by repentance, by turning from the sins of the world, and then turning to God through placing your faith in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Unless you do this, you cannot be born again. And if you're not born again, that means the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells inside your heart, where Jesus and the Father can come in and abode in your heart by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. If you are neglecting that, you are neglecting the first step to worship. You must be born again. Jesus said, lest man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, that's an emphatic, ye must be born again. So the first step to true worship is to accept Christ, repent and accept Christ by faith, and be born again into the family of God. Receive the new birth. Receive that transformation that comes in. All the old is passed away. Everything becomes new by the dwelling power of the Holy Spirit and the presence and person of Christ in your heart by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And then we go on. He says, not only is there new birth, but there is a new temple. The word of God tells us here in John chapter 2, I want to turn back to verse 19 through 21. The word of God tells us here, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, talking about his body, and 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. The word of God tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that tell you? We must worship the Father in spirit. That means we must allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into worship through the week to prepare us to gather together and not neglect ourselves in gathering together in the church building. We must prepare ourselves to walk in this world by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, which Jesus Christ said he would do, and that he will bring all things to our remembrance, what we've been taught by Jesus. And Jesus is telling us here in today's scripture in John chapter 4, true worship and true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That comes through the new birth. the Holy Spirit coming in. You must be born again. You must accept Christ as your Savior. And then you must, once the Holy Spirit comes in, let Him lead you into the truth of God's Word. And you must be obedient unto that truth. That's what Jesus said. That's what true worshipers are. I pray that this message has spoken to your heart today as it has mine. I confess that I am physically hindered where I cannot attend church. I cannot attend my home church of Brown's Chapel Baptist Church here in Packlet, South Carolina, because of my physical condition. But I promise you, and the Lord knows my heart as I sit here today, I do not neglect the gathering together with the one who matters, and that's the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ, my Lord, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We must do this. Jesus would tell us in John chapter 18. I want to read this in closing. It's something the Lord just gave to me. John chapter 18, we'll pick it up there. John chapter 18 and in verse Matthew chapter 18, wrong gospel. Matthew chapter 18, I'm only human, bear with me. Matthew chapter 18, we'll pick it up there in verse 18. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Listen closely to verse 20. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst." Yes, we should have a Bible study in our homes. That's how the church began, in homes, home to home. They went about breaking bread and glorifying God and the whole power of the Holy Spirit and dwell with the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts tells us that all the way through, they were filled with the Spirit and they went about house to house breaking bread and glorifying God. And they went out and preached the word of God with power. But we must gather together, not only together as a Bible study, not only gathering in the four walls of a church, but he says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst." If you are by yourself and you are worshiping God truly in spirit and in obedience to the truth, the Holy Spirit in obedience to the truth of God's word, and you're worshiping God by yourself and you are in his presence, who is with you? How many are gathered together in the name of Jesus? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you. That's four. That means he's here in the midst of us when we worship him daily. Daily, not just every now and again, but daily. We should be worshiping him. We should be reading his word. We should be praying. That the Holy Spirit reveals our heart to the Lord through prayer. He intercedes for us. Christ is seated at the right hand of glory and majesty on high. He's there to ever intercede for us. And we, when we go to him in prayer, he says, "Come boldly, come confidently to my throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." It's all about true worship. And it can't not be confined to the four walls of a church building just on Sunday, Wednesday night, and Sunday night. It can't be confined there. It must be more to us in our life to be true worshipers. Thank you for joining me today. And again, I pray that this has spoken to your heart, and it has mine. And I look forward to the next time that we can share in a word from the Word of God. God bless.